Okay, we're going to take and call to order the February 27th, 2019 council meeting. We're going to establish a quorum. Connie Breeze here, Mike Shields absent, Don Greiner here, Mike Harper here. We have a quorum. Can we start with the Pledge of Allegiance, please?
So you look at the flag.
Pledge of Allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you so much.
Yeah, we're due.
Do we have any added agenda items? Okay, so I guess we're going to start with items that are not on our agenda that are just public comments. Do we have any public comments at this moment? There will be another time at the end of our meeting where there will be an opportunity if you find out you need to, you know, say something. Okay, so the next thing that we're going to do is we're going to take and approve the minutes and reimbursements of a consent agenda. Everyone looked at the reimbursements and stuff?
Yes.
Yes.
Right, okay, do we have a motion to pass the minutes and the reimbursements?
I move we accept the consent.
I second.
All right, it's been first and second. All in favor?
Aye.
All right, we're good there. All right, our next situation is we have an action on the American Leadership Forum payment. Does somebody want to explain on this?
Mr. Mayor, I think I can tell you as much as I know. First of all, this was our former city was approved to go to this. He got a scholarship for it. But according, here's the letter that he sent. It says, hey, thanks for the message. I received a thumbs up from every council member, I believe. I have emails from Connie and Don, and I spoke with Dennis extensively about it. This was all way back in May. I received $7,000 out of my own pocket, and the city's sent. It was never a formal agenda item, vote, and so forth, and brought before the council. So it's the position of the former mayor and Stu Martinez, the former council, that because it was not brought up on a regular agenda item to the council, that it should not. Personally, I know that Corey did talk to me, and I can't remember him saying anything about the city paying anything. I can remember him telling me about his getting the scholarship and that it was going to cost him. Don't say he didn't tell me, but I don't remember. Oh, that Connie, I believe.
I remember him saying that the city would have a portion to contribute to that if we were okay. Also remember writing him an email telling him I was totally in support of him.
I guess my question would be the city picking up 20%, 20% on any of this.
The 2,000 is 20% of the total cost. It was like 5,000.
The 7,000 was in scholarships.
Oh, in okay, sorry.
That's where it stands. So right now, there's been no action taken on it by the council at all until this time right now. And we need either accept it and pay it, or we ought to reject it, one of the two. So that's...
Okay, so I just have one thing to say. Maybe I'm not doing math quite correctly, but if he had $7,000 and $1,000 out of his own pocket, that made $8,000. So of $8,000, how is $2,000 20%? So it was
$10,000.
That's where I was trying to get.
That's where I was in the letter that it was
$10,000. Yeah. That was before me.
It was $10,000.
Uh-huh. Okay.
Yeah. All right. And there was, the previous mayor and...
Both say because it did not come to the council, and they say that he didn't talk to them, their opinion. But now it's up to us to make up the decision.
Or we should delay paying until we make a regular agenda item out of it?
It is just a regular agenda item.
Oh, it is. Okay, perfect. All right. Well,
I would think as city manager, he would know that
talked about it at meetings. I mean, I think it's pretty petty to all of a sudden say we're not going to pay it when I think we were all on board with his education and supporting his education at the time. That's just my thoughts. I don't think that Stu or Dennis were objective to it at the time.
I don't motion, Connie.
I make a motion that we approve to pay.
All those in favor of paying Corey?
Aye.
Aye.
All right, motion approved.
Thank you.
Hire him to take his bicycle?
No.
No, he left it here.
We'll figure out how to get that to him.
We may have to put a contingency.
That's going to be a presentation.
Right. Okay, so our next thing is we're going to do the appointment of Public Works Committee members. And I've looked over a number of committee members and I've taken, listened to what other people that have worked with each of the members, you know, their opinions and stuff also. So we have four people to appoint. And so I guess here they are. Thomas Weller. Linda Johnson, James Fleming, although I was kind of hesitant on that one, and Roy Christensen. They'll all make great people back on the committees and new person. Do we have to have a motion to approve that?
Can I give a little background first on Public Works Committee?
Sure.
For those that are in the audience, Public Works Committee focuses on
Removal.
What's that?
Snow removal
would be up that alley, correct. We've created a new position on the board that's specific to the cemetery. So we have a cemetery representative from Midstate that's on that committee as well. Appointments are specific to those items.
Will this fill the committee?
It'll be seven.
One of them will be a cemetery person and six others will be primarily. I have a motion to accept these members.
I make a motion we accept.
First and second, all those in favor of accepting the four members that were declared?
Aye.
Aye.
All right, you're appointed.
Thank you.
Tom, you missed it.
Thank you for serving.
You just got appointed to the Public Works Committee.
Yes.
You never know what happens if you come in late.
I do apologize. He did say he might run late, so. And he does have another amendment he needs to get to, so.
Yes.
Lay number nine until later.
We are.
I'm asking.
No, it's now.
I have something that they did call and leave a message at 5:40.
Yes.
They were delayed.
Right. That's why I'm just double checking here. Okay, so we're going to delay our citizen input here for a while. Our next agenda item is our community funding request, and the first item on this is Lapine Middle School Lego Robotics. If you'd please step up and tell us about, you know, your name and address. And
and tomorrow.
To get dressed. I'm Jennifer McGee. I'm a teacher at Lapine Middle School. Do you want my home address?
No, I'll give school.
I was here, encouraged to come to, and but I did get into the school. I was happy that I could get in there and I could get the robots, so I'd like to show you our robots.
Oh, thank you so much.
We're asking our support of the Band of Brothers. We're well on our way to our robots, so I have one that our school owns, and I had actually it was mine that I bought for my son. These are our Lego robots, and we participate in the first Lego League, which is on different challenges every year. So this year I was really excited. It was our first year. I was probably going to be like, you know, we'll go with it. And
Jake will help you out with that.
Yeah, right. Okay, maybe this will need it. We'll come present to you because we'll have to present to someone. They have different parts of the competition. They have a design piece where they talk about how they design the robot. And that they learn lots of STEM activities, STEM skills like programming and coding and logic and all that stuff. So this year, because we were a little late in the game in starting. And the other thing is it's very difficult. We can program it just fine, but you have to build the mechanical parts of it. So when we had just one robot, having them practice on the that was very difficult. So we wanted to get some more robots so that we can get more heat. We'll be a little bit better with what we can build. And so right now we have two, and it's working okay. So our competition season is over, and now it's just time for us to practice. Most of my team is so we can get better at program. So we were looking for two more robots, and then we'd have a total of robots we would like is the education, about $35 more than the commercial version, the education version that the commercial version doesn't. Yeah, oh yeah, this is, and these two, so we have two of them right now, and they're pretty much the same. This is the commercial version, and I had to like scavenger some pieces. It has a sensor on it that they're not allowed to use in competition. So that's to make this competition worthy, which we don't really have to worry about, but we had that incident. So half our kids were gone, and I have a coding class, and I was like, well, okay. Some of them had missing work to do, but I got my robots out, and I said, hey, you guys, let's try to program these, because that was really fun thinking. If I had at least six, eventually I could even use it.
And what is their longevity?
Well, this one that my son had, I've had for about 5 years.
Okay.
Didn't know it. The lovely part is it's exactly the same as the newer version, which really surprised me, because that means Bluetooth or they can be plugged in. They last quite a long time. Nice thing about the education version is it also has a recharge. We can just get some batteries, that'll work. Kids get really excited about it. The thing that draws them to Lego, we do. It really draws them to be able to play with the robots. And since we've, after competition season, when I just have about four kids, and I only had three kids show up, and one could really get on it, they go crazy. I mean, then that's when they really can start learning and trying things and, you know, kind of be left alone and mess with it. I went, did a presentation to them, which was really fun to try to get to leave school and them all, because that was really cool. I've never been to one of those before. And I asked them for one, and they're going to buy me two. So that would bring me up to the four that I was looking for, but I would go for some. There's another thing that we got about NASA's 50th having a competition that has to do with the Mindstorm, which we have, and drones, and they have it's kind of Lego robotics, which sounds really cool. So, and this is a little different than the next version, which the high school does. They do, I think it's called FEX, but I'm not totally. They do the next level up, and they do a different league that doesn't have the components that first. They're really, man, when I started reading that book, it was like this thick, and they have lots. I mean, that is a nice thing. It is an entry level. Like, kids can do Legos, and it's an entry level, and then they can go on to the high school.
I went and looked at these up online, and it seems like you are getting a good
price.
you want to
see it?
Not tonight. That's
I can put it on the ground.
Everyone
and
else
show
may
you.
Not.
I can show you.
But it'd be wonderful to see the kids using them. So.
Oh, yeah. It's awesome. Yeah. It's really fun to watch them. The mission is, it's amazing how they can get, we went to have 60 teams presenting there with, like,
these little robots, can they be programmed for snow removal?
Maybe. Actually, I don't think I'm back up in the snow.
There's a little bitty snow cone.
That's right. This might be what the world is coming to.
Yeah. So, do we want to review this? Do we have a motion to grant for a second? All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Motion passes.
Thank you.
But, you know, those are good little seed units, you know, and then they can move more complex ones.
And they're awesome because they'll, like, even when I presented them to my coding class, play with this.
Was the code, is the coding like programmable logic controllers?
It's block coding,
it's
the way they have it.
Now.
Come play.
Yeah.
Monday, Tuesdays, Thursdays, let me know, you can come play.
Yeah, I know that some of the kids that have done this program, and they had a great time last year, so.
The elementary schools did it, which kind of makes me wonder where their robots are. I mean, for real, because elementary's table.
So more.
Yeah.
Thank you so much.
Thanks.
Okay, so our next agenda item, I hate to say it, but you were just showed up a little bit late, and we knew about that. Do you mind waiting a little longer until we can fit you back in?
Thank you for just hearing us.
Yep, no worries. We haven't forgotten about you.
Thank you.
And so our next funding request is for the citizen input on the wall that heals.
Hey, everybody. I'm Michelle Hoffman. My husband Dan and I moved to Lapine, October, and the brothers, and the co-chair of the committee to bring the wall that heals to Lapine in 2020. Fellow committee members, my husband Dan and Kat, the wall that heals to Lapine in 2020. Part and pro-veteran community, this will be an amazing opportunity. On Memorial Day, we will go through the 18th, August 4th through the 10th, in November. The wall of this memorial is 3/4 size of the wall that's in long and 7 feet tall at its tallest point. Restaurants, stores, hotels, gas stations, etc. It will be an extraordinary experience for all who visit the wall and for our community. The cost us to bring the wall to this community is $10,000. Expenses for portable toilets, a generator, those expenses to be around $7,500. We're asking you to support this once-time opportunity with a pledge of $5,000. Pledges and a lot of interest in the community. Of $5,000 will be payable when we are accepted coming to Lapine. Our hometown here had the honor of being on a committee that brought the traveling wall to a community in Colorado. It has an information sheet and a pledge sheet. Remember, it takes all of us to make this happen. You as individuals can also pledge. I want to thank
you. Can you take and state your name and your address?
Michelle Hoffman. You want my mailing address or?
What's some, in case we need to contact you somewhere.
P.O. Box 1218, Lapine.
All right, thank you so much. And so I remember when we had originally spoken, I thought that it was like 350 or 375 feet, but then in one configuration I was told it was like 700 and something feet. So is it 50 feet, is that in a crescent configuration, or is that lineal? Where did the 700 and something?
375 feet in length. And we not only have the wall to set up, but we also have a tractor trailer. The trailer that hauls becomes the education center. And that had our rules as to how to set this up.
And so if your funding request was approved, when would the city release the funds?
We will hear in November whether or not our site, when they get a hold of me to tell me, okay, this is perfect and we're gonna fit you in.
Right, so maybe where I'm going with this is, because it's after July, we could slate this as a budgetary item, because you don't need the funds as of this moment.
No.
You don't need them until you're approved in November.
Correct.
Okay, right.
Yeah, that's what I was going to suggest, is that if the council wishes, they could.
So I guess we've probably got some questions. Connie?
We'll have it all figured out by then, but.
I love the idea that it's called a healing wall, because I think it does help bring some.
You know, we have an awful lot of veterans that we really appreciate all they have done for us and all the sacrifices that they've
done. I'm a veteran myself. My father was a Vietnam veteran. There is official funds for the forest.
Just
thinking
us to get it
to
here.
Get
that doesn't
so
count.
That were raises, yes, like that with the chamber, I believe.
The one thing that I noticed you didn't mention tonight, maybe you're still contemplating this, but you proposed sites to put the wall.
We're down to 3 sites from what we originally started. Site, depending on the wetlands delineation, the rodeo grounds, and Finley Butte are the 3 that we've.
Finley Butte Park.
Mm-hmm. Yes. They've gone off streets. The Vietnam wall, we're remembering 58,000. My snow boots don't go up that high. So we've got 3 sites that we're looking at, so that we'll always have a plan.
We take and approval of a budgetary item. Our next agenda item is the discussion of the Frontier Days land use with Ann and Terry.
Myers, resident of Lapine, post office box 1304, Lapine.
Thank you so much.
So we have made application for a conditional use permit for the land. And what we wanted to do tonight was try to engage our vision, which can be kind of
wild, and now we're wildly enthusiastic about this land, of course, but that we haven't given careful consideration to all the purposes and uses for it. What sort of surprised us is the things that have come out of the woodwork since the land and put the word out that we want to do different things. And some of the things that have come our way that you just heard about, though, would be that would be a tremendous space for it. So Michelle brought up about the wetlands delineation. We've been in contact with this. 10% of our usage for those kinds of events is actually located outside of the wetlands as it's laid out on the map. So
should I take this up?
So most of those, and this map is included in the conditional use permit application. So that is not an issue, though we plan on using the wetlands.
Yes, to make a flipping pond and also just a water feature for people to walk around. And we've contacted OFW and are working with the restoration man, and he happens to be Dobie Fugate right here in town. The restoration for wild natural plants on this side of the Cascades in this whole district up and down. And so he is willing to develop walking paths, help us put native plants back in there so that we've got something that we could bring the school kids over and have them walk around, and there'd be some signage. Also a really nice place to walk, and that pond would be a part of that. So that's kind of a cool deal, and that can be down in that wetlands delineation, although adjacent land with the 150 acres that came out of the lands in 2011 was taken out of wetlands by the state. There are no wetlands on that adjacent. So we are looking at that old canal that's there, that slough or whatever it was called, as something that we're not going to really need to worry about. But since it's down in a recession in the ground there and it drains down into there, it would be a very utile place to put and build a
place. So it kind of came out of the woodwork is Cycle Oregon. I think if you all of the parts and pieces of their event on one piece of property, the school district has become very honored to get any hold any kind of event on because
week.
And it's and it's middle of the week, so
during the
that
school
really
week.
Makes it difficult. Prior years, it's part of it has been over the weekend, so they've made it work. Midweek would just be almost impossible to utilize. So they were very excited, and they bring a lot of their very own their own stuff with them. They bring so it's a perfect place, even if we don't get a lot of infrastructure built by the time that the wall we talked about. There's potential for other events that have come to us. The Fambler 500, if you've heard of the Gambler 500.
This is for families.
Okay. This is not that.
For families, the not adult stuff.
Yeah, the Gambler 500 is a very interesting event that's been touted as somewhere between Burning Man and
Coachella.
NASCAR, I don't know. But at any rate, it's an adult event, and they're happy with where they found last year, which was Thomas Mine down in Chabot. But those people want to have a similar event for their families so they can property.
So rather than take up all of your time, since we've written some of these things out for you on these two pages that we left as front and back, of one page that's attached to the application. I think something that we really want to stress today is that this is 40 acres right here in the city, across from the rodeo grounds, able to be developed with two different entrances from 3rd Street and from Boltia, providing a venue of 40 acres for all kinds of events. The Lapine. We even have one of the local banks looking at it in terms of us developing it and sponsoring it. So I mean, we're working every angle at this point. So a conditional use permit that would be unconditional, as long as the events fell within the parameters that we've described and would go after. So we just want you to consider that. And unless you have questions,
well, one I'd like to add one last thing. It's not just about events. The overriding reason that Frontier Days was so excited with this property, it's been a part of my life for 40 years. I've been driving by it every day to go to my house for all of that, and it's so unique. Not every community wanted to preserve it. There was potential for other developers to come in, and didn't set well with me personally and other people. And so Frontier Days in the winter and using it for ice skating, for community, as the beautiful piece it is.
We can have some.
This is the year for the Melting Man contest.
Melting Man
the
Festival.
Melting Man Festival is might be this might be the year. So any questions?
Okay. I don't believe I have any questions.
On. I've never heard that from you.
With all the events, it looks like you're going to need more parking. So.
Yes, well, you can see that, you know, it's going to be an evolution. Should we be able to clear the snow before the 4th of July and actually have the event this year? It probably won't exist in a much different configuration than it already does. And is, there's a lot of stuff to do to the ground itself to make it perfectly usable, and we'll be doing thoughtful growth. We want permanent structures for some of our events that are so popular, like the Kitty's Fish Pond, and that's also something that could be used throughout the year, not just for four races, which is really a very small little racetrack. Could be used for RC racing. It could be used for, you know, kids events. It was quite a bit of thought as to where those things are going to be. Okay.
What are we going to do about water and sewer?
Well, it's my understanding that that particular piece of Lapine is not on your comp plan. You've made no decisions about how you're going to take water and sewer to that. It is our plan to dig wells, at least a couple of wells, and we have already contacted. We have to bring a large power line, three-phase power line, out to Morrison to accommodate some businesses that are coming into town. Asked for an easement across our property to be able to bring that. Started that conversation in return for doing some of the work for them, and that easement, that might be one of the first things that happens, actually.
And have we've talked about having our own, just like any of the own, to control waste?
Already use, you know, 20 porta potties for the event, so that's something.
And those things first.
And if the city revisits their comment and sees that they can have houses there now and won't be a huge number, it'll be something for the city to consider somewhere down the road. Well, you know, I mean, we can start discussing all those kinds of particulars. The SDC charges are horribly high for our budget, certainly, I think for anybody's budget.
Right.
But,
yeah. Amount.
Huge amounts, yes. You know, I can see potential to ask for on the SDCs. Maybe there's other pocket money or something that can offset that. I think there's a lot of different avenues that we can certainly.
Depending on where you propose to put the sewer and water.
Well, we talked with Jake about putting. We'll have a ditch open. And he didn't feel that he was able to do that because it's not on your comp plan. There's nowhere that says, you know, that you even. That would actually, if that were to happen, where the ditch is going to go, would put it relatively close.
Yeah. Another housing development.
Any housing. Exactly. You know, there's lots that are adjacent to ours that are on the higher ground that there are people that.
Those are.
Well, there's a lot of different variables, so it's not on any of our plans, but
right.
The city financially. The other thing is you don't know what size pipe to put down there because we don't know what. The bigger the pipe, obviously, the more it costs, so we're trying to narrow that down, but it's
right.
Something that really has to be contemplated. And it's based on what size meter they would need for the property. Those range depending on your meter. We're a little ways off, but it looks like we're working through it. In an application, it's with Tammy, so
yeah.
Tammy, no.
There's a difference between one of the options that Jake property right off of Morrison, just bring the water there. That means we'd have to put in about 1,000 feet of pipe just to get to the water. And we figured that it'd take about a 4-inch line and a water, and we can, for $64,000, so. That just is not an option. That's just too much money. So we would tap off at your line at a more recent 1,000 feet of water line to us.
I will take this under advisement. The council will consider your presentation, and then we'll just look forward to how this comes.
Thank you, ladies.
So our next agenda item is we have a revised EDCO memorandum of understanding.
You can go back to the.
Oh, that's good, right. Would you like to speak, Cameron?
Yes, we're ready.
Okay. So we have citizen input regarding concerns in our city of harassment and intimidation and bullying. Will you please, state your name and address?
Yeah, my name is Phil Klug. I live off of Ridley Drive here in the Pine.
Mike Love.
This really bothered me when you came to the meeting the last time, because we don't sanction the bullying or harassment or racism.
In town.
Yeah, so we think that maybe it would be good if you can explain your situation a little bit fuller so we get a better grasp of what you were talking about.
Yes, go ahead. Like I said, my name is Phil Klug. I moved here in 05. Bought property down here. I've been doing that for, I've been doing that close to 20 years now. I employed 7 people down here as a contractor. I'd like to start doing a tow business down here. I'm getting to the point now, I just can't. I'd like to start doing some towing down here, but I haven't said I don't know where else to go. It's once it starts, it doesn't stop. This whole thing started with a couple years back when I first moved down. I was working in Portland. I was coming down here. I'm late. I'd leave early. I'd be coming late on Friday night. I'd come in early. Every time I'd come into town, they'd stop me. Every time I was leaving town, they'd stop me. The most common one I had was I was stopped over 15 times 1 year for 2 bridal licenses. Car isn't new enough. If you don't fit the mold of what they think you should be, you're stopped and checked out. Dandy for crime prevention and everything, but at what point does it become? I'm usually out plowing roads right now this time of year. I had my tow truck towed the other night. I was by hand. I've got basically 2 stories I want to tell you to what we're trying to say is going on around here. They would rather stop people from the police here in Deschutes County, they would call, than investigate crimes. And I've got 2 first-hand report from a very close friend of mine, one is from myself. And their family member passed away, the house was empty. They had somebody break into it, so they set up game trail cameras. Police said, well, there's nothing we can do. So they set up game cams. They got somebody coming in, camera coming in, they got a direct face of them going, like this, looking around, they got the license plate of the truck as it turns around, they turn into Deschutes County Police. Well, there's nothing we can do about it right now. So they put it on Facebook. They got reported back to who it was, what happened, who the person was, where they live. They told the police, they went and told the police about it, and they got a call back and said, take the posting down. Finally, something was done with enough complaints made. Myself, I have my place. I've got property. I've got a place over off of Rim. I've got another place. I've got property over off of Rim. I'm paid for. I own nothing on my house. I'm solvent. My property was broken into. I have some outbuildings there. I was broken into by some of the neighborhood brats. I went around and I called police about them. I got the doors kicked in. My stuff's everywhere. They threw $1,000 worth of damage. I talked to Officer Kennedy. He came out, took pictures, and kicked around. It about a week, so I went and talked to some of the neighbors. I went and talked to one neighbor. He told me who affected it was. The person I told Officer Kennedy I thought it was. I'm like, well, there's nothing I can do. So, and the lights come on behind us. I'm driving my, I'm using a flatbed truck that I have. They know who I am. They know what I drive. They're waiting on the other side of the dead end. On us. I wasn't driving, fortunately. They harassed us we had some reports about some, yeah, but we got reports of noise. Then they want to see everybody's ID. The vehicle's insured, it's registered, everything's good on it. ID, see the IDs. I'm a passenger. I won't show my ID. And they're asking, why not? You know, why won't you show it to me? Because constitutionally, I don't have to. And, they were going to haul me in over this, and I said, I want to talk to the shift supervisor. And fortunately, Sergeant Manning was working in the back. Me and Sergeant Manning, we got into about showing the idea. Finally, I said, look, I'll show you the idea. But, finally came down to, after everything kind of calmed down and everything, he said, why are you being such a waste? It's got to be such a problem about, with the police and stuff. And I explained to him about my property getting broken into. Now nothing's been done. Well, did you do this? Well, yeah, I did that. But every time I call in, they have to call me back. I can't call them direct. I'll give you a number. Every time I got the business cards, they was crossed. They're supposed to carry business cards. I don't know how many times I've carried, asked them for business cards. They don't have them. I've got over 25 letters of harassment written up of different incidents that have happened. Some of them are multiple from a single incident. Ones that I weren't even there, they thought that I was driving. They've pulled people over. And this goes on and on. I mean, I'm not the only one around here this happens to. Police department here in Deschutes County. I have not resisted arrest on any of those occasions. I have a $10,000 retainer down with an attorney. Coming up this next month, it'll be 3 years. I sub them down to court dog. I can help you. They only get paid per incident. They don't get paid for they have to go into it. So, you know, what's happening is a lot of these people around here, they may not be guilty of something, but they can't get any help from anybody. They just have to take what they want. Part of the thing about out here about the problems, a lot of what's going on out here is there's no public transportation for people. No bike paths in the summertime. There's no way for people to get around. This is the Tulies, man. This is kind of, you know, off the grid. Living violation over 10 years. But I've had no insurance, no license, and I've had tickets, but yet I've got myself to the point now, I can't get some kind of help on this. You know what I mean? I don't know what else to do. And I'd like to get a license back. I'm eligible to get a license back, but I've got so many tickets. A suspended license ticket violation. I'm uninsurable. I'm trying to get my house right now and do a self-insurance deal so I can at least insure myself when I drive. Put on my house as collateral on this. You know, us here, and we talked, last meeting I was here at, and I heard a lot of talk about public image, that the Pine is trying to change their image of who and what they are. And, you know, I've got personally 25 people at least volunteer time in community projects around here, like going up and doing work at the cemetery to help put up like playgrounds, people that are willing to do public works. These are the people here that they're trying to drive out. You know, you want to try and change the image of Lapine to Sun River? People here that are willing to do anything for the community, they're willing to volunteer their time. The problems, every time I see somebody do this, you know, broken down or something, about, you know, just because that's what you do. I grew up a lot of years in Alaska, and I remember my dad used to always stop with us. You know, we'd be driving somewhere, and somebody would be off the road. He's telling me, because next time, it might be us. And, you know, there's something there, you know, you're in the same hole. And once you get there, it's hard to get out. I mean, I'm working on it, but it's hard. I'm not a bad citizen. I do a lot of good for the community. I employ people. I'm trying to put people to work.
But the reason we were late today is because we've been out all day helping people out of the ditch. A big 10-ton army truck that I've been in the 4th of July. I get out twice a year, 4th of July and year. It's a big 6-wheel drive, big truck. It's anywhere. We go out and do this kind of thing for the people around here because they don't have a lot of money. People around here are on a real fixed income or they're poor. You know, and they can't afford these tickets. I turned my license in a couple years ago because take away my camera because I was just filming them. Pointed out to them they're using an unmarked car for doing traffic, which is against the law. It's a code violation and a safety violation. Well, these are my tickets. Not one of them is a moving violation. Since June, the judge that sits over here, he don't even want to hear me. Next time we go, one of these is for boating on Schedule Avenue. How do you boat on Schedule Avenue? You think that ticket was dismissed? Same thing.
Okay.
Arrested for anything? Well, being convicted of anything? She's been here. Pulled over. Up at Palina, at the parking lot there. On a 104-degree day, they pulled her out of the car, six cops. One shows up, and boy, the party's on. She pulled out of the car, handcuffed, put in the back of a cop car. My wife is 4'10" tall. Wow, that's a big threat. As far as I'm concerned, they didn't make penetration, but they raped her. They flat out raped her. She had to have after an hour and a half in the cop car, she had to have the ambulance called. They checked her out and didn't take her to the doctor. But the next morning, she got post-traumatic stress disorder. Next day, we were at the hospital all day long over this. And when they were done tearing my BMW apart, broke the stereo, door panels, the headliner, after an hour and a half tearing my car apart, didn't find anything, so they let her go in the parking lot at Palina. So shook up, she couldn't even put her arms down to the side and drive for an hour, so she said. Now, this could happen to any one of you. You can pull over like that and it'd be raked over the coals. Then 5 days later, they did it again. I put in a complaint. Now, they disregarded my complaint, that there were no, the cops were totally within their rights. Well, not with the traffic stop. It takes 20 minutes. After that, they're supposed to let you go. An hour and a half, she sat in the back of that cop car, passed out most of the time. Something's got to be done about the bullying that goes on around here. Flat out. I'm a disabled veteran, spent 25 years in the shipyards at Portland working for the Navy. I had security clearance. I'm not a bad person. I volunteer up at the Legion. I cooked there for 3.5 years, 3 meals a week. Then I moved over to the Moose for 1.5 years, just for the heck of it. And I've had to quit all that now because of my back. And, I'm not a bad person. Flat out, I do memorial things for the veterans that are buried up here at the cemetery.
Our biggest crime is just the
speech. I couldn't get insurance if I had to. Not one of them for a movie violation.
And just real quick, one other thing I'd like to add. I got a hold of somebody here at the Sheep's County. I couldn't get a hold of anybody for several weeks. I finally got a hold of somebody. I find a juvenile district attorney, juvenile court. I was going to get paperwork on it. I wait, make a couple calls. Oh, we're so sorry, this has already gone through the courts. I got hosed out on this. The kids got a slap on the hand for it. I got hosed out. They wouldn't do anything about it.
One guy gets pulled over out here on the main drag or something, and one the car, and here comes another car, and here comes another car. Pretty soon you got a parade of cop cars lined up over one person.
And you know, in Deschutes County, we have like two officers on duty out here, but I've seen...
through town to nail them.
Yeah.
For nothing.
People won't come out here because of that. You know, people will not come out here. I mean, you know, there's the...
People won't come out here to play cards or anything anymore. Because they're going to get stopped.
But from what you're telling us, this is very concerning. The one thing that I would like to assure you is that we take this very seriously. Also, because of the jurisdiction that we have with the Deschutes County Sheriff's Department, we really don't have any authority over their processes or what they do. Sheriff Shane Nelson does. He physically is employed by the Deschutes County Commissioners. The attorney, all of these people that you mentioned, you're kind of having problems with. They're not, you know, handling this correctly. So maybe what I would suggest, I don't know if you have yet, but at some point or another, because we don't have our own police department here, you know, or a municipal judge of our own. They operate under their own criteria just within the city limits, you know, and the county, just the city's part of the county, but we don't have any say-so in what they do. The county actually instructs the commissioners instruct Shane Nelson, and Shane Nelson is the one who instructs the sheriffs.
Deschutes County, it's a shame. Before I moved over here, I've had several people tell me, you're not moving to Deschutes County. I just refused to believe it, since I didn't get in trouble.
Right, right. No, it sounds like this is a very serious thing. What I would just kind of echo to you is that we're very concerned about what you're saying because it doesn't sound like you're getting a fair shake. But at some point or another, it's out of our control because we don't have jurisdiction over what the sheriffs do.
I understand that.
The commissioners would, though, and I'm sure that if you took and told them, then they could easily take this to, you know, to their advisement and be able to see Nelson or have him come in, you know, so that you guys could take and talk back.
You know, I've talked to other officers. You know, it's fallen on deaf ears.
Right. Again, you need to go to the top of the pyramid,
right.
You know, which would
well,
be Shane Nelson.
Said, no, we can't go to the top of the pyramid. We've got to go in an order. We've
yes,
to
I understand.
We're working our way there.
Yes,
don't get me wrong.
I totally
we're
understand.
There,
yes. You know, and that's what I'm saying. You know, I mean, we are very sympathetic about your plight, but mm-hmm. at some point it's out of our jurisdiction. And the next place, you know, so that all your gunpowder is dry, you say, well, we went to the city. We went to the, you know. So your next step is to go to the county commissioners who regulate the district.
Well, is there any chance that you might be able to speak to them about the things that are going on? Is there something that
you could never convey to them your plight better than you could?
Well, as you said, we've tried. And it falls on deaf ears.
And you've gone to the Deschutes County Commissioners before?
No, we have not gone.
Not the commissioner.
No, we've not.
Tony DeBone is one of our Deschutes.
I've met Tony before. He's a commissioner. Yeah. When he had the Little D Technologies down when I first moved down.
He lives right here in town. Really,
yeah,
you know, he's
I love Tony. He's been a very, very good person. I think he's been a good commissioner, too.
Yeah, I think that that's who I would touch base with because this is kind of his.
You know, actually, that's a really good suggestion because I feel comfortable with Tony. I feel like I can trust him. Right. So many people have told you one thing and, you know, they turn around and they're just not.
If we had our own police department, then we could do something.
I don't think your own police department is really the answer down here. I mean, like I say, we've got
no
people.
I understand what you're saying, but I'm saying if we had one, then we would have jurisdiction, but we don't.
And you know, and also I'd like to, just for the record, though, is we've got a lot of people around here that, you know, I've got over 25 people that have committed to doing community service, you know, like roadside cleanup and stuff like that, but like putting up parks and stuff like that. Up at the cemetery, and you know, I'd like to still leave that offer open.
Small town strong because of citizen, you know, occupation like that. So,
like I said, you know, I was 3 houses away from my home. I had insured a licensed driver there, and they still towed my vehicle.
As soon as they found out, I was putting in a complaint with the sheriff. She'd been in court and everything on the ticket, then all of a sudden she gets hauled in for sitting in the back of a car.
Right.
But this is the things that are going on. We just want to express this. We're trying to go through the governor's office about this. That they were told to start here. So that's what we're doing, and we'll just continue on. And you know, like I said,
thank you so very much for coming in and
like
spending your time and voicing your concerns.
Nobody's seen us here. Following meetings. We're gonna start attending. Right? We need to do this. No, everyone's afraid to do it. I was afraid to do it, and they finally pushed me too hard. So here I am now.
We support citizen interaction in the council. There's no problem.
And like I said, we'll start hanging out and you'll start seeing us regularly at meetings.
Yeah, but I'm just advising you, maybe the county commissioners, that would be our
next. Yeah, like I said, I'll try and get a hold of Tony, and I'll try and set up something with him, and I'll go from there, because I feel comfortable with it, so.
Right, thank you so very much for coming in.
It's the same process, right?
Yeah, but if you can talk to Tony,
you can talk to Tony,
then to see the whole,
what kind of reception
all the commissioners have to be put on their agenda, and the same thing.
All right, thank you very much.
So, our next thing is, I guess we're back at the revised EDCO memorandum.
Yes, my staff report says this reflects the council's wishes. You all wanted to revise the MOU, and we heard them and we revised it and then cleaned up a few of the minor changes, like dates. Everything's redlined. You can see it if you looked it over. You know, it's been changed.
The small and medium-sized businesses that we talked about.
Well, you see the cross out.
I didn't
get pretty vague because what's going to come out of it is, if you'll notice under services, we said provide updates because that was important to you, and then we also businesses of all types by being a resource for information referral partner chamber small business center blah blah blah. Shouldn't say blah blah blah. And then what's going to happen is with the new hire, the first thing they're going to do is update that strategic action plan, which you see. So that will be a discussion point, and that will be updated. So that was primarily left alone because that's just an action plan.
Do we have any questions about this, Connie?
I saw a regular program report.
So that's another thing that they'll talk about. It's SLED, and that'll be on the schedule, I'm sure. One of the things, again, as I noted before, is you will start receiving the minutes from SLED. So once they start meeting, you'll also get those in your packets to acknowledge, along with Planning Commission, Public Works, and all the rest.
Okay.
So that will help too. So you'll get a lot more information coming. And then they will also provide, I believe he has in here, quarterly years. Regular program reports as requested.
Yeah,
so
it's regular.
It's left open, so if you want monthly, if something starts happening and they need to come more, if they, you know, things slow down, or you get okay with court on the minutes or that kind of thing. So we just thought that was vague enough to keep it.
Point three, about the fine to be responsible for that. Are they going to be
I'm not sure what you mean. The city, it funnels through us. So SLED board comes up with business donates money, and then we pay EDCO a quarterly amount for our process.
It's tax and accounting documents related to the programs and services rendered.
However,
the city of Lapine is responsible for maintaining holding from its contributions to the program. And
we have our own system set up. It just funnels through us.
Our audit.
Yeah, and it's a budget line item, basically. So yeah, it's all
Okay.
It's all good.
It is, this contract is, can be stopped.
Okay. First and second, all those in favor? Motion passes. We have a new EDCO come. Our next one is, it's a staff report about the expenditure of unused CDBG funds.
Again, as the staff report says, last time when we had the update on the 23rd at the council workshop, Spreadboro and Anderson Perry were here discussing the project, the wastewater water treatment project, and it was determined that there would be some unused portion of the grant that would be available and unexpended, and we were looking for a project to possibly pick up. This picks the next item on the agenda, so if you notice, it all kind of goes together, but essentially what it boils down to is we discovered the lift station in the Newberry neighborhood was really inadequate, and we are seeing a upsurge in development there, potential development, and it's looking like it's more than potential, it's actually going to happen. And so that lift station needs to be upgraded. We can pick that up. Anderson Perry, since they're already designed lift stations, pick that up for the unused portion of the grant. And so we were able to sneak that in as part of the project. We would also try to piggyback it on the construction phase so we could probably save some funding that way with including it in construction in the 2 years. So it's, from staff's point of view, this is the best use of those funds. The CDBG manager agreed and it was approved, so.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
Right, do we have a motion to pass this?
I just, from my point of view, I'd like you to, just so if it comes back, you guys did agree with that's how we spent it. Just full disclosure, I did already sign the document, so.
That's why I was wondering if we need to.
I did, but I would like you to agree. I think you should make it formal, just so.
Mr. Mayor. Those in favor? All right.
Appreciate it.
Motion passed. Okay, so now we have an update on our sewer loan with Deschutes County.
And so this is basically just for your information and to prepare you for the joint meeting you'll have with the county. I know for the new commissioners or new counselors, sorry, this is, I actually did not know about it till it was sent in an email to me and said, FYI, here's how the loan's doing. And I went, what loan? So we did some digging, met with the county. And again, as the staff report says, basically that we inherited a sewer district loan that the sewer district took out with the county to bring infrastructure up into what is now the Newberry neighborhood of Crescent Creek. Part of that infrastructure was the lift station and then a line that went all the way up. So the way the loan, in simple terms, the way the loan broke down is the county, the sewer district, the money to put the infrastructure in, and then the Newberry neighborhood. Consequently, what happened is all the loan stayed out there at 4.5% interest, which is basically about $40,000 a year. And as development wasn't happening, that interest was still accruing. So what we were left with today is a loan that started out at 1.5% and is now seized. But because the void development happened, you get a little bit of development that may pay. Dan didn't understand until I met with the county is that they actually have a bond loan on it that's separate that they refinanced 9 years ago to 2.8% interest. So they've been making payments and their interest has been lower. So the original bond is down to like $730,000 in between. They're somewhere lower than what we have in a loan. Meeting with them, we explained, basically explained that, hey, we have this lift station that's adequate for more development. We want development, but we have to replace it. The only way to replace it is if we have SDC funds coming in to pay for that infrastructure. And so they agree. And so what staff, between the county staff and this staff came up with is in a compromise is that they would go ahead and lower our loan to what they actually owe. And then the same percentage points interest, and then also go ahead and split the SDCs with us. So they're getting half work. It'll make a big dent in us helping to do the construction of that lift station and then maintenance. Housing Works paid $93,000 in SDCs. That's great, it goes towards that loan, but when you have a $40,000 interest rate come back on that, you're not creating a dent. But in half of that, you know, $45,000. It made a big dent in our, you know, upgrading. That's the compromise that staff's come up with both jurisdictions. You will be meeting with them next, in April, March and April, on April 10th, and be on the discussion for you. So I just wanted to give you a heads up, give you information on it, let you know what's coming up, what's happened.
They made a deal with Polish to reduce the...
We'll still process them. They don't do commercial. We take the commercial in and give them the commercial. Polish will still be released from the first 300 homes. They love that. But any new provided they're agreeing to this compromise, we will start seeing half of those SDCs come in. And they'll capture the whole Newberry neighborhood, so it goes all the way up to Burgess, all the way down. So it takes in the Sagebrush, which is Vic Russell's property, takes in the neighborhood 2 and 3, that whole swath of land, the 510 acres. Happens potentially, we're looking at, without having any compromise at all, we're potentially looking at not getting any SDCs in for the whole entire neighborhood, and yet having to maintain all the infrastructure. This way, at least we're getting half, so we can maintain infrastructure. The loan has a buyout or a clause in 50 years. So even if we build up the whole entire neighborhood, gets totally built out, you know, we're getting half the SDCs and that loan's not. Right now, the way it's going is, it could totally get built out and we wouldn't see a single SDC. And then we would wait till it. But it would go away after 50 years, but we wouldn't have seen a single dime, yeah. Be happy with this compromise. I think it's the best we could come up with, so.
On the council at the time, we assumed the wall. For the life of me, I cannot remember any time during this period that this has been attention, but yet I understand that Rick Allen, who was our interim city manager for a long time, knew about it, but never brought it to the council's attention. Just knowing it, to me, would kind of aid, but it seems like the city got it a long time ago.
Yeah, it hasn't been hidden. Previous city managers have known about it. I will say this, Corey knew about it, but I will, in his defense, say there are emails going back and forth between the county and him, though, where the county gave him false information regarding this loan, which is what caused this whole sit down and talking. He was under a false premise, and that's in emails. So on his side of it, I understand where he's coming from. It, at his point of view, there was only after I got the spreadsheet that said, FYI, here's where you sit, and went and did some digging and asked what it was about and got the background, different information than what Corey was given, that we had to sit down with the county and came to this conclusion. So that's what I would offer.
If you go through all of these things in here, I mean, there's a 100% because they were so concerned about getting banking going on in the Water and Sewers Board. So this one, we're stuck with it, so what can we do?
Yeah, we are.
We inherited
We inherited.
It's
not the
stuff.
Only one.
Well, where was this on the budget?
It's not really a budget thing, because right. It's not in our best interest to pay it off. I mean, if we're going to wait
right.
50 years, wait.
Yeah,
but
there was no money needed to budget for it.
Right. It comes out of the SDCs.
Sewer
right.
SDCs.
Yeah.
But right now, they're getting all the SDCs.
They're getting all of them.
Just
and
for
so,
sewer.
You know,
just
water.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
They the water, yeah.
But this has nothing to do with industrial. Nothing
industrial.
At all. Yep.
And no other neighborhoods.
Yep. No, this
expand,
is just,
we go
this
anywhere
was a
else,
separate thing.
Just those neighborhoods.
Yep. This was a loan to put infrastructure up in that neighborhood.
Yeah.
And like I said, I think this is a,
I felt
really good that the county came to the table with this, and
yeah.
they this is the compromise. Very good about it. It's a better deal for us. I mean, let's put it honest, it really is, so.
Well, I just know when I make a budget at home, even if I'm...
through that way, though, because they collect the SDC, so it's not anything that funnels through the city, it's just it's out there.
But nobody ever questioned why.
I'm just telling you what I
know. I know, I'm just surprised.
We're moving forward.
We're moving forward.
It is.
Yeah.
You got the last of the contracts. I gave you the last one.
Yeah.
Apparently, I haven't looked at them all, because at this point, to me, it's moving forward, but... There's apparently like 10 amendments that have been done over the years of the sewer. It's very convoluted.
Yeah.
And so, like I said, this is just for your information to catch you up to speed. So when you have that meeting and this comes up, I'm hoping you'll all be supportive.
Advantage to us if we approached one of the local banks and got a...
No. No, because this goes away in 50 years, so whether we pay it or not. So it's not in our best interest to start paying extra money towards it.
But if we could collect all those SDCs...
They have the original loan, so they're going to need, and it was to, the SDCs were to pay for it. Believe me when I tell you, this is the best deal for us.
Okay.
Yeah. This is really good for us, so...
Thank you.
We agree it's better than a sharp stick in the eye.
Yeah, it's better than nothing, which is what we're getting now, so...
Okay, that was just kind of an enlightenment.
That's an update, yeah.
Mm-hmm. All right, so our next agenda item is a quick review of our council goals and objectives. I believe that we wanted to see them printed out.
If you'll notice down the left-hand side, we actually just put kind of where we are with that. Most of them, as you'll notice, are ongoing. They're things that we continue to strive for and do. Finance, we have a completed create transparency, easy to understand monthly financial statements. Completed that. But that will be ongoing also. We'll keep doing that. Works that have been completed. We completed the water rights mitigation assessment. Completed technology. We have purchased that and are using it. With that, and looking down the sides, and
Bonnie, are you good
any
with
questions?
I'm good with it. I guess I, coming from a person that's done a lot of goal setting, I guess I like to see dates or you know, something that's a little bit more measurable. Some of them are...
They're vague and they're ongoing.
They are pretty vague, and I get that some of them are ongoing, but when you're saying updating the website, are you updating it monthly? Are you updating it weekly? Things like that just are so vague, it makes it hard for us to go, yeah, it's actually happening, or did we update it once this year? Going to you. So I think just a little bit more measurable, and I'm not saying spend a ton of time on it, but I think that are a little bit more to where we...
Looking this over and everything... I'm really amazed that our staff has been able to get any projects and working on them, but I also feel that Connie is right, that it would be nice to know that, for instance, economic available industrial building space in La Pine, done for that, and how long or how much has been done.
And you'll have to forgive me, because some of those, without a economic development director, I'm not sure where we are on that. So I just put ongoing, because we don't have a new person. So that's where we left off with those. So forgive me for that one. That was me.
Well, I just picked one out.
Well, yeah.
On the same. But I am really surprised that that our staff, as small as it is, are working on all these projects. And I mean, some of them are completed, like water rights and mitigation assessments and stuff like that. We've made a lot of strides in it, is what I'm trying to say. And that's one of the things that I was interested in, is seeing that by or something like that. So does that sound reasonable, Connie?
Yeah, and some of them, it's measure.
Yeah. Promptly respond to citizens' inquiries.
Yeah. What does that mean? What is promptly?
Well,
you know, is that
exactly
within 48 hours?
That's,
is that, you
yeah,
know,
that's exactly.
Increased staff certifications in water. A certain amount of certification upgrades within a year, or
yeah, that could be worse.
You know, I think that there's just some things that would be a little bit more, you know, cross training for staff. Obviously, Tracy's not going to learn Jake's job. She really wants
no.
to.
No.
But, you know.
What was that under?
I don't remember where I saw that one.
Human resources.
Human resources.
Cross
that's
training.
Right. HR.
There
yeah.
You go. So Tracy and Kelly do cross train. I mean, they are continually.
They fix sewer lift station pumps.
No, but it's human
yep.
resources. So it's
got a
cross training for them
yeah.
inside that, that department.
Yeah. Anyway, that's all. You know, there are some of them I think that we could probably. It happened too, and when we made these goals that I remember, it started out with the council work session, you know, and we started eye level and we did the council goals and then we did the departments. It was not a very long time between that and budget time when we had to have these out. And so they were a little bit more vague because we were trying to bust them out, goals versus ideas.
I mean, I would encourage you all to look at also, because obviously if we've completed them, we're going to want to take them off or, you know, change them out. So there are obviously goals, and that's something that obviously we could do, I mean, on your own and submit what you think, and then we can work on some internally also and get back.
Program.
We've on the city, we've looked at several different cities. I remember working on this last year, community development difficult, because some cities are very specific in their actual real goal, like this year we're going to this, and some are just very vague and very general. And so I think we're trying to find that happy medium with what we knew we could accomplish or what we wanted to strive for. And I think we have a good mix in here.
Yeah.
I think you'll always have some vague ones. I think you'll always have promptly respond to citizens' inquiries. Well, what does that mean? Well, we could probably, maybe now we could define that. Goes into a hole where we may not be able to meet it and then have to sit in front of you at the end of next year and go, well, you know. But, right. And so I think there's a happy medium there. I think
yeah.
The Councilwoman Breeze is correct. I think we can get some measurables and we can work on
some measurables in there and getting public feedback.
It's not this year. Not this year.
Can't toss one on the website?
No.
It's a good balance between us remembering that we have high-level goals as a council, but manager's job is to define the department goals closer. And that's why the council goals are more higher level. But, yeah.
That's true.
One thing, you know, you were talking about making, you know, giving us some concrete figures. It says continue active code enforcement. Well, if we had down that you had X number of complaints solved and X number was ongoing, that would be a measurable thing.
It's more
quantifiable.
And that's kind of what I
don't want to put an undue burden on somebody, but that would be measurable.
And that's kind of what the January 23rd is, what I tried to do is present all these, you know, so like Chris came and he had that, he did present that. So I'm trying to give you those without me having to sit down and do hours of work and try to compile this for you in one, you know. I'm trying to give you that throughout a little bit. So that January 23rd was a start of, hey, this is where we've been, here's what happened, here's where we've been.
Sorry.
Through the snow.
I should have done it for you.
While you're getting stuck out there.
Okay, are we good with this? All right, so do we have any other matters at all? No. When the public comment part comes up? Yep, no worries. Then we're going to take public comments again.
Just a couple of quick questions. I don't think you'll be able to answer this for me, but I figured I'd shoot.
Maybe you still got to say your name and address all over again.
Like, I'll see. My name is Phil Klug. I live here in Lapine off of Ring Drive. Just a couple of quick questions. You probably can't answer this for me, and we've already talked. There's such a discrepancy between what the police, Deschutes County Sheriff, say that they have on patrol out here.
Data on how many people.
I don't know that we can answer
here.
That.
Right. I don't think that they provide us.
I didn't think so. And the other question I had was, they've blocked off Howard. They plowed that over. There's another one off of.
They've done what to Howard?
Off of Howard Road, they blocked that off completely. They've basically.
Which county?
Yes,
right. This is outside the city of Lapine.
Uh-huh.
And there I end up on Brook Lane and another spot that I can't remember. They blocked all those off. Is there any thoughts about why that's going on? Or does
maybe our public works person would have any idea?
I mean, I could speculate, but it's out of my jurisdiction, so
right.
I couldn't give you an honest answer.
No, that's fine.
I know there's, all, you know, when you start talking about blocking roads.
It was, again, if it was inside the city itself,
right,
we
it's
could
not
give
inside
you a more
city,
confident
yes.
answer. But
right, I realize that. I didn't think that'd be able to, you know, give an answer for me. If you're long here, I might as well ask.
Right, it never hurts to ask.
Thank you so much for your time. I appreciate it.
No, thank you for coming.
You bet.
Staff comments?
Sure. So we have the county commissioners right now scheduled for April 10th at 4:30 here at City Hall.
I have two invites. Is that it? 4:30?
4:30, April 10th. And then the good thing is the next meeting in March is my probation up, and so we'll need to have a review.
just wanted to see if I
could find out. And so, if you have any ideas of how you want to do that, we could do it like, and I don't know much about this, I don't know how it worked with Corey, I do know, I think he, I don't know how you want to conduct it, I guess is what I'm asking. It would be an executive session.
We actually sent in, Mayor handled it, a review form for us, each of us counselors to fill out.
I will look something up, try to find that and get it out to you before the next meeting.
No worries.
It actually is for the position.
The other thing you'll need to discuss that you can't discuss in executive session at that session, my pay moving forward, and so be thinking of that. And then also budget, we're ramping up for budget, so next month also at that meeting we'll come with some dates. Some reason when we can meet as for budget committee, we have some openings on that, so we have applications out and available if you are a resident who votes, is registered to vote, they can for that.
Do we have?
I think that is all I have.
Have we revised our planner one to planning director?
We will, Tracy and I, I'm gonna start working on that, hopefully within a good pool of candidates.
Tracy or Jay?
Yes, we've had quite the incident storm-wise over the last few days of that. Many other communities have been affected by it as well. Through the storm, we've got.
Just an additional reminder on LOC coming up in April that we've got three of us.
So we go the night before.
Okay.
I thought so.
Budget committee vacancies, just to, we do have, actually, that's why there are three openings. Two terms expired, and registered voters. Yeah. And then just to kind of getting back to these people as quickly as possible, we can't.
Yes, Jake and the staff have done a phenomenal job.
Great job.
They're just, yeah, they're on.
Mostly other staff, but I've been.
Robin did call back this afternoon and really especially wanted to thank you guys for your work on Third Street.
I can't give them the answer they want, but they still, they appreciate what I wanted, but I'm very grateful that you called me back. I was like, well, at least I can do that.
Yep.
Have council comments?
Declares priorities.
I put that up yesterday.
You put it up yesterday.
I reposted it yesterday.
We had the priority streets up before, but I don't know that we had the map and we put the map. A lot better about getting stuff out and being more transparent.
Me, and I wondered if that kind of got missed because it was.
Oh, at Wiki, yep.
Yeah.
So I didn't notice that on the way here.
So we might want to make sure that that.
Definitely.
Something that I knew that could get missed because it used to be the county that did it and now it's ours to do, so.
Right.
It was just one particular.
One of the things we need to do is to remind people of this, that with this kind of weather, they don't want to park their cars out on the street. They want to leave room. Otherwise, I think we had a great meeting in progress that we're making, that we are making. It seems like there's been.
They're doing, we end up, all ended up having lunch together today at Harvest Depot, so I thought I was gonna stop to help, but there was just too many people around, so we're in this new spot on council and everything.
Yeah, I just want to say, because of the unique situation that we are in, this doesn't happen every year. All right, so.